feels really good just to, I don't know. I know when I have a lot of things going on and I don't feel I'm getting a break, I usually need a weekend where I'm not responsible for anybody or for anything. And this past weekend was one of those where I said, dude, I just had a trip. And that trip, I didn't really have the vacation time that I wanted. I came back with bronchitis, it felt like, because it was simply I was doing work while I was away. And the time zone is one where I'm fucked. You know, if I stay out late, I got to get up early. My body says, nope, can't fucking do that. It's like Michael Jordan, man, watching a documentary. I'll go into that later. Nonstop. Those some people just can go on 3 hours of sleep and go hard. Like, my body says no. And I ended up catching bronchitis. Then I had my mom over for a weekend. And I just been going, trying to get a new place. And, you know, all these different things. And this weekend, I had free. I had nothing going on. I said, fuck yeah, man. I'm in. I'm good. And here I am. You know, just fucking relaxing and feeling recharged. And I know that's something that people don't do for themselves, but it's very important. You know, I was telling that to actually the guy that I went on the trip with. I was telling him, I think you ought to make it a point, if you're going home and you feel like you need a vacation from the vacation, then you're not doing enough resting. You know, some people, when they go travel, they have to have shit lined up the whole time. They have to go see things. And I get it. I mean, I'm all about experiences. But, man, I make it a point to just sit in the fucking hotel room and do nothing. And I have not taken a phone call. I will probably when work kicks in, you know, because I've been doing a lot of extra work. So, yeah. I mean, it's been fucking good. And just not, I mean, everyone's been calling me. I've been getting plans like, hey, you want to do this? No. I don't want to do anything. You know, that's the thing. I mean, you need to give me like a 3 or 4 week heads up, because I'm the opposite. I was talking to somebody about this because they had an event and I never, you know, they gave me a hard time because I never show up to the events. And I was telling this person, I was like, well, you guys came up with it, what, on Wednesday, Tuesday? I'm like, yeah, we just came up with it last minute. I'm like, yeah. And I know the type of people there are. It's like you have the people like me that once we commit, we don't back out, right? So, but the thing is with me is I have to commit in advance. Very rarely do I like to do things spontaneously. And there's other people that don't like to commit. So they wait till last minute to make that commitment. Like, they don't want to say yeah, but they really don't know how they're going to feel until the last minute. So I get it. And that's what I was telling this person, that I'm committed, even though I'm non-committal in the relationships at this stage. It's one of those when it comes to when I say I'm going to do something for somebody, I'm going to do it. That's why I hold back on saying I don't do anything. Or if you plan with me in advance, then I can mentally get ready for it. And this weekend was one of those where I was just sitting, just unproductive weekend. I didn't want to leave my house for anything, nothing. I was Uber eating it. I was ordering everything as much as possible and just sitting there watching YouTube clips and playing my video games. That's it. I didn't take any phone calls. My mom must be going crazy. And it's crazy because she calls me every day. I'm like, I just don't feel like calling or talking to anybody. You know what I mean? Like, it's like one of those, like, I just want to be left alone, man. You know? And one of the things I ended up doing is, you know, going through the weird rabbit hole that I did was I was watching Olympic basketball. Old school dream team when I was 14, 15. And I just started learning about basketball and starting to like it. I was a big fan of Magic. That's why I fell in love with basketball. I was watching the, I want to say it was the 91 finals. And there was like a semi-fast break. And Magic does like this no-look pass to Vlade Divac. And I'm saying to myself, oh my God, that fucking looked awesome. I want to learn how to do that. And the next thing you know, thankfully I grew tall and all that shit. But that was my love with basketball right then and there. And I watched the Dream Team because luckily you don't have to have cable. As long as you had NBC or I think I had NBC and I had CBS, I had PBS and I had ABC. But I remember NBC was the one that came in the best. So I will be able to watch Sunday basketball games, some of the playoffs, NBA finals, and they had the Olympic coverage that year, and I was able to watch the Dream Team, and I just decided to watch it again just to see it, and I appreciate it. I appreciate it much better this time around because you obviously, many years later, you played the sport and you've studied it, and you get a greater appreciation for what things happen. And I'll tell you what, man, that was a really good fucking team they had. It was very simple. It was funny because I'll see them running play, like the point guard would be like 1-4, and they'd be like, whoever had the ball and they wanted to go 1-on-1, they just scoot 1-4. One was like a regular curl screen to the big, and then they just pop out. Two was like off the screen action. You know, it was very simple shit, but they didn't need to do anything special. They were NBA players. They kind of know how to put the ball in the basket. So, but it was very fascinating seeing it again and seeing the talent that they were playing against, how Croatia was really good. Croatia was definitely, obviously not as good as the Dream Team, but they were a team that you could tell all those teams that were playing the Dream Team back in those times, they were scared because, man, they were getting opportunities and they were throwing some crazy shots that you could tell were nervousness. In my opinion, anyway, it was a level of, man, they're just passing the ball a little too much driving and kicking. And I know that in a regular game, a lot of these guys would have been taking a lot of those shots, but they were being unselfish. They were just trying to pass the ball. It was weird. It was just weird to see that. And seeing the dominance of Dream Team was one that was very fascinating to me. I think a couple things I took from it was the fact that Scottie Pippen was the, outside of Jordan, Scottie Pippen was the best player. It wasn't Barkley. It wasn't anybody else. It wasn't Magic was Magic. He reminded me why I love Magic, because Magic is out. That's the kind of point guard I'd be. I'd be like, dude, he's trying to make a fast break out of everything. And he's trying to like grab that ball and let's try to create a fucking magical play out of this thing. He's trying to force that ball. I love that. Like, it's basically, let's run. Let's fucking run. And it's amazing because that's the kind of point guard I wanted to be. I was like, goodness. Like, it was like, you get the ball. And that's how I feel when I play. Like, I feel I'm one of the, well, not now, but when I used to play, I used to be like, man, I'm a great decision maker. Even though my body wasn't built for a point guard, I felt that I was like, gosh, I love the feeling of having the ball on a fast break and here are your options. Let's make it happen, right? And Magic was one of those where it was incredible to watch him. I think Clyde Drexler was much better. One of the most underrated players, I thought, was Chris Mullins. And it was a shame that John Stockton didn't play, and he could have played in that. I think a guy like John Stockton should have gotten more playing time because John Stockton doesn't need to have the ball. He's a very efficient player, but they just benched him like he was some sort of scrub, like Christian Laettner. And I felt he should have gotten some. I thought the guy that maybe could have gotten less playing time was Patrick Ewing. Patrick Ewing is not really, when you have that much offense on there, and I don't view him as a great rebounder like David Robinson was, Charles Barkley was, or even Karl Malone. Those guys get dirty, I felt. I felt those three, Robinson, Barkley, and Malone, they go in there and grab rebounds. Ewing was like, I'm used to sitting that baseline shot, top of the key shot. Like, he's very offensive oriented, but so that's the only thing. I would have played Stockton more. I would have played Ewing less. And I think Scottie Pippen was probably the best overall player because the game I was watching was when Croatia Magic got hurt, so they didn't put Stockton in, they put Pippen in to play, and he was playing the point. Oh, okay, he was doing the point forward thing, and he looked pretty fucking good. And you know, I'm always a fan of the two-way players. So I the fact that he would just play defense, team ball, help defense, and just everything. I was like, dude, this guy was very, very underrated. Like, Scottie Pippen is not a guy that you would have as your franchise player. But, man, it's a great stacker. It's probably the greatest number two. And not saying that if he by himself, if you put a team, Sacramento Kings, you put Scottie Pippen in them, they'll win. But they're not championship. But, man, you put Scottie Pippen with a Jordan, you put Scottie Pippen with a LeBron, you put Scottie Pippen with a Kobe, oh my God, forget about it, because he's that fucking good. You need a closer with Scottie, but he does everything else. And he would have been great playing with Shaq. He would have been great playing with Duncan. Just like a guy that you knew could go ahead and be a consistent closer. But Pippen in that Dream Team, the games I watched, I was like, wow, this fucking guy's good. This guy, no wonder he should have been getting paid way more. But it was a good weekend, you know, just watching. I know it's a little bit late, but the Dream Team was one. And obviously, it was so funny because I was watching the Dream Team and my buddy, he was angry as fuck. And he sends me a message about how the Dream Team lost, or like the USA Basketball lost to France. And the France players were saying the same thing I was trying to tell him. And I was telling him, dude, I mean, you got to understand that this is not 1992. You're looking at what, 20 years later, easily 30 years later. And a lot of these guys, you know, the world now plays basketball in that sport. And you got to think about it this way. The MVP of the league is, Jokic? You have Giannis, has been back-to-back MVPs. He's from Greece. You have Luka Doncic. Luka? He's a star. Basically, you have top 10 players in the NBA. Four or five of them are from Europe. They're easily from Europe. I mean, I just named you three. Jokic, Giannis, and Luka. There's probably some other one. Like, for example, like the game that USA just lost, it was against France. They had four NBA players. They had Defensive Player of the Year, Rudy Gobert. I don't even know if I'm saying it right. They have Batum, which is a guy that was a max player, meaning that he got the most money contract. They had a number one round pick, a number one first pick, and they had somebody else. Like, they have four guys, NBA players. And I was telling that to my friend, like, when I'm watching the Dream Team playing, the only team that had that many NBA players was Croatia. And ended up winning silver. There was no other squad out there that had any NBA players. Like, Angola looked like a bunch of like kids that were just kind of playing outside in the park. And they looked decent. And someone said, hey, you guys look decent. Let's go ahead and give you some jerseys and play. That's basically what Angola looked like. It was like, wow, these guys look like really good pickup basketball players out there. That you go on a Sunday and go to the park. And you watch, you're like, these guys are pretty good. Let's pick them up and play. That was Angola. Now, I bet you that any team has some sort of an influence. Like, these guys are players, man. And I was trying to tell him that when it comes to Dream Team basketball or you know, world basketball, like, the world has caught up. I'm not saying that United States isn't the best anymore. They're still the best. If we roll out our A team versus anyone's A team, we should, by talent, we should win. But like the NBA player said that was playing for France, ended up being the U.S., he said, individually they're greater, but they're not a good team. They don't play well together. And that's the whole thing that I was trying to tell my buddy because he was so enraged about it. You know, I don't get mad about sports and give a shit like that. I don't even know. I didn't even know they were playing. All I know is that Dream Team came on my time. I'm like, let me go see what this is all about. Let me see if my perspective when I was 14, 15 is different now at 44. And I was like, oh, no, pretty cool. You know, it was pretty cool to see. But next thing you know, he's sending me that stuff. And I'm like, dude, like, you have to understand, like, these guys are playing way better talent now. And the way it works in European basketball, these guys play much younger. So it's as if they know each other because they're representing the country for a long period of time. The Olympics mean a lot more. Or the gold medal in basketball playing for the national team mean a lot more in Argentina, mean a lot more in Croatia, mean a lot more in France than it does in the United States. And that's what I was trying to tell him. I alluded to the reality that I feel that here in the United States, guys get pressured to win championships. So now when something like the Olympics comes up every 4 years, they have to debate whether they want to put their body through that and risk being hurt or being worn out by the regular season, or do it for the pride of the country. Because look at a guy like Carmelo, I want to say he's won two or three Olympic gold medals, but he's nowhere viewed as great because he doesn't have an NBA championship. And that's the part where I feel our society here in the United States has placed such a large emphasis on basketball players, professional basketball players, getting an NBA championship over that. So the squad that I'm thinking should have been over, I told them, I said LeBron, James Harden, Kyrie, Durant, you have Kawhi Leonard, James Harden, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, right? I mean, I just named you eight guys, and only one of them is on that roster. Anthony Davis should be on there. So I would say Giannis, but again, he's from Greece. I would say Luka, but he's from fucking wherever he's from, Europe, somewhere. They're not from the United States, but you see what I'm saying? It's that you, the A team isn't there. Now, he was saying you have nine All-Stars. I get that, but when you have guys that are not showing up and don't really care, yeah, you have Kevin Durant, but like I said, you're not gelling together. You're not trying to play together. People are more worried about their health now than they do because of the NBA championship. So much merit is put on people's careers, especially these guys that are superstars. They don't want to go ahead and risk themselves out there. And I feel I'm not sitting there and trying to play, but this is not the A team that we're bringing to the United States. And I think when the talent increases as much as it has over time, now basketball has become a worldly sport. I mean, it's not as powerful as soccer. Soccer is always going to trump all. But when you have that type of talent pool rising, and now we have NBA players that are here and are doing pretty well for themselves, and they're not all-stars or Hall of Famers, but they're pretty good players, and you put them on a team with and gelling together and playing, they're going to have a more than a puncher shot. And what I was trying to tell my buddy was that USA now has to really, it's not that they don't have the best talent when they roll out the ball out there. Even with their B minus squad, they still can roll over anybody. But when you don't play together, when you don't want to gel together as a team, then it's going to be a problem. And I think that was the cause of it, because France, those guys have been playing together for years, blah, 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 blah. You know, they don't care. People, when it comes to playing for their country outside, it seems like there's a level of pride with that. And I noticed that in the documentary. I watched some basketball games, Dream Team, and then I watched the documentary of the Dream Team. They talked about the behind the scenes. And they just talked about the pride. Like Jordan had the pride. Karl Malone had the pride. Magic. Like those guys talked about how proud they were. Like it has a different meaning when they hear the Star Spangled Banner. They feel a level of patriotism having been with that experience of representing the country in the Olympics. Hey, I mean, I get it. And I think that for these guys, if you're, doesn't sound like they're caring at all. I mean, they lost a couple exhibition games and now they lost a first round game in the Olympics. So that just lets you know all you need to know. It's a matter of pride. The guys are, I was telling this to my buddy, like one of the players on there, Damon Lillard, he was being asked about his trade demands to another team. Nothing. Why would you bring that up in the Olympics, right? I mean, I understand you got to ask them questions, but you see my point is that these guys, the pressure to have championships, like, and then I was telling my buddy, I think one of the things that they should do is should be they should have people that have won a championship already. They should invite NBA players that are good, you know, all-star, that have played and have won a championship. Because now that feeling, not for all of them, I'm sure they want to win multiple ones, all of them do, but you know that now they can add to the resume. And I think that's something that's very important, like, because the media pressure here in the United States is one, and the sports media anyway, is one where LeBron can never, ever be greater than Jordan because he's only got four championships and he's been to the final 10 times or something like that. And he's won 4 out of 10. So he'll never be as great as Jordan. And that's something that these guys really worry about. Because once they make it to the top and once they become superstars, now it's about their legacy. Now they want to be known for something that can maintain history. And that's something that I feel those guys get caught up in. Not all of them, of course. But I think a few of them do, and that's why they back out. That's why they don't want to play. Like, Kyrie Irving should be playing that too. Are you fucking kidding me? Kyrie Irving should be in USA Basketball. He's the best fucking ball handler in the fucking universe. And he can shoot the ball. Are you fucking kidding me? Like, you're not there. Steph Curry, best shooter ever, period. And he's not there. So it's things like that that I see. LeBron, obviously, you know, speaks for itself. But you see what I'm saying is that these are the decisions these guys are making. And 30 years later, you know, Dream Team, it's one where now you got to bring your A game. And if you're just thinking you're going to roll out the basketball and show up and play, I think it's going to be rougher than I have expected. Give it time. This ain't even my body. Just look me in my eyes, man. Oh, you feeling me softly. Now I'm in the class singing off key. Spreading that thing like Bobby. This ain't even my body.